You know, in the book of Psalms, the first chapter, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." If you'll go over into the book of Acts, you'll find out it's fulfilled in the book of Acts. And they bring it out very clear as how that this thing is against the Christ. See against the Christ, Peter said. Or why does the heathens rage? Why do they? Why are they gathered together, it was said? Is it not against the Lord Christ? And of course it is. It's always against the Lord Christ. Peter spoke of this and spoke of the fulfillment that I read to you not too long ago concerning the fulfillment of Joel, how that this thing came about, the book of Joel. I make mention to you again concerning the things of the Lord as to the faith of Christ. And what a great, wonderful thing a human being is. I was talking about a few things today of what a great thing this is. As to being a human being, God could have made us anything. Could have made you a dog, could have made you an elephant, could have made you some kind of animal. But he didn't do that. He made us a human being. And in that we are human beings, then we are wonderfully made, David said. I am wonderfully made. I'm wonderfully put together. To look at a human body, it is a great, fascinating thing. Animals are fascinating. Trees are fascinating. Stars, the galaxy, mountains, rivers, the ocean. All these things that God made, they're fascinating, but there's nothing as fascinating as a human being, a human body, the structure of a human body, the way it's put together. It is the most fascinating thing that God has ever created as to that which you can see with the natural eye. And we are wonderfully made, and it is astounding as to what his purpose is in Christ toward mankind. But we are only wonderfully made as to an end of great wonder and benefit if we abide in the Spirit of God. If we have been born again. If we are not born again, then we're nothing more than vanity. Vanity of vanities. The preacher said all is vanity. And as we preach to you that everything is vanity, there is nothing under the sun but what it is vanity. And if it be vanity, then it is vexation of the spirit. Because that which is natural, that is vanity, is vexation of the spirit. It is a vanity. It's a vanity that has come into existence only by a mind. And that mind is the satanic mind. Because when God made it, he didn't make it in this fashion. You're not in the image in which God made you. You're not in the fashion in which God shaped you. We look at each other and we admire faces in the mirror, and we admire bodies and the potentials of our bodies. And especially when a person is in their early life or their teens, and they've got all kind of thoughts, all kind of programs and plans. They're going to conquer the world. Everybody's going to see them. They're going to be on TV. They are a celebrity. They're going to be rich. They're fabulous. They're just what the world has waited for. But nevertheless, it's all vanity. And they are a bastard child image that's gazing at a mistake. They are looking at a lying vanity that will pass away, because their body is nothing but a constitution of atomic particles, as to electrical sparks, as we would say, with a magnetism of composition. That's all. See, and they are bound earthly by this magnetic field, as to that blaze of fire being in the heart of the earth, which means that from the dust they are, and to the dust they shall return, because the powers of that magnetism, it controls them. They are a subject of dust. Jesus said, "Ye are of the world. Ye come from the dust, you go back to the dust." He said, "I am not of the world. My constitutional parts is not of the dust. I am not of the atomic particles." For the Bible said the first man, Adam, made a living soul, but the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And so then he said, "I'm not like that. I didn't come from the earth. I'm not going back to the earth. Though I lay down in the earth, yet this promise have I of my Father, that I can lay my body down, my life down, or I can take it up." So he said, "I'm not like you. I'm not going back to the dust. I came from heaven." He said, "And I go back to heaven." So, when you consider them that are not born again, then of the dust they are, and to the dust they shall return. For they are nothing more than a living soul that was brought forth from the first man, Adam, and they have to return back to the dust from whence God took them. But you and I, we didn't come from the dust. We that are born again, we are not a living soul. We are a quickening spirit. We didn't come from the dust. As Jesus, the first brother among many brethren, we came from heaven. God foreknew us before we ever came into the world. We were created in the mind of God by foreknowledge. Ye are elect. And the Bible said, "And this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was." We did not come from the dust, therefore we will not return to the dust. We came from heaven, so we go back to heaven. When the time comes as to the Lord Jesus descending from heaven with the trump of God, the voice of the archangel, the shout from heaven, he will shout as the headship of this quickening spirit body. And this body will immediately be changed into the celestial body. For there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We've borne the image of the natural as to the earthy, which are those that will go back to the dust. But in that we born that being heavenly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly body. Because from heaven we came and to heaven we go. So then we are not that which is perishable. We are that which is eternal. From the heavens we came and back to the heavens we go. We are the very body of Almighty God. This that God has given us in Christ, in his foreknowledge, before the world ever was. And so then we realize what great, mighty people we are, even gods. Ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. Right at this particular time, you're bearing the image of the earthly. When you see me, you see the image of the earthly. When I see you, I see the image of the earthly. But we are bearing the image of the heavenly. As to the inner man, and when you that which you cannot see is heavenly. That which I cannot see of you is heavenly. Speaking of the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. So we are heavenly. We are not as male and female, though we are male and female, as to our first birth, as to reproduce in the earth, as to multiply, to replenish the earth. We're no more than cattle. We're no more than cattle. But then there comes a time when it shall be revealed as to the inner man. That is an eternal being. He's not like cattle. He's not like beast. The body of the first man Adam having failed to the cattle realm. See, we are only subjected as sons of God among these for the reason of development as to growth, for the reason of feeling and understanding the infirmities of those over which we will rule throughout eternity. So then we are subject, the Bible said, to vanity, having been made subject to vanity by reason of him, even God, who subjected the creature, even you, that is in hope, and that is as to the hope of glory, Christ within you. So then we are subjected to vanity. But as we born the image of that which is vanity, so shall we bear the image of that which is heavenly. For I am not of vanity. I was not made in vanity. I was not created in vanity. I was created in the image of the Son of God. And I am thus a son of God. You are created as in the image of God. By foreknowledge are you created as to the elect. Because God creates by foreknowledge. But the way he creates, when something comes to God as the great spirit, it is an act of creation if he makes the statement, let there be. And so then when it comes to God as to God, the great mind, the spirit, the life that gives forth foreknowledge as to image, as to conformity, as to creation, the greatness of that is, the act of that is that God does it by the sovereignty of his foreknowledge. In projecting his foreknowledge, or that is to say that God foresees and understands, the foreknowledge of God projects and creates as to a sovereignty. He creates as of a sovereignty of man as a being. It is a created sovereign to as to his own thoughts, as to his own doings, as to his own desires, and in the same act as to creation, the man is judged, and eternally he hath a sentence upon him as to life and death, according to the sovereignty that God immediately sees as he foresees to the act of creation by foreknowledge unto a sovereignty of individuality that can in return look back at God and either please God or not please God and receive instantaneously a judgment as unto life eternal as an eternal creature or as a life that is put out as to the name put out of the book of life. So then we realize that God in all of his greatness he hath made us a sovereignty. And yet, in the sovereignty, I bear the image of the earthly as to the beast. I'm subjected to the beast level. And I live in this beast realm, and I'm subjected to it, but I'm not a beast. The beast will come to a headship in the end of the world, which doesn't seem to be very far off. And it will come to a supremacy as to a body of pride and of lust. A power, a regime, but will be destroyed because it has not pleased God. But we who love God will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality, as to bear the image of the heavenly, even as the earthly. So then I bear the image of my first father Adam as to the earthly, a living soul. And then being born again, I am now an interman, that is a son of God, that must shed off that of the worm, the cocoon, through the stages of the metamorphosis as the butterfly, I must leave the worm stages behind. God said, Jacob, thy worm, I will help thee. And I must leave that earthly body behind that is bound by the gravitational powers of this magnetic force that's in the earth. I must leave that because from the dust it is, and to the dust it shall return. And by Calvary, I've shed that. I put that off. I buried it in a watery grave. And today, I dwell in heavenly places. I am sitting in heavenly places. I pass from death unto life because the body has the sentence of death within it. And I put off the body of death, and it's buried in a watery grave. And at death, my spirit, through the stages of the metamorphosis, my spirit ascended into heaven. It left the worm, the cocoon. It went away to be with God. And so it will be recognized at the sound of the trump of God as the coming of Christ, as the headship, when he comes to pick up his body, the quickening spirit. Thessalonians change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. From mortality to immortality. From the terrestrial to the celestial. And we are changed from the corruptible to the incorruptible. As to the day of the Lord, the Bible said, no man shall know the day nor the hour. And it is true, no man knows the day nor the hour. But we, as the sons of God, as Christ, who knoweth all things, hath made known unto us all things that my Father hath made known unto me, I have made known unto you. And that is to say, the bodily part of Jesus was saying, as the man part, that the inner God that dwells on the inside of me hath made known to me the Son, all things, and all things that he hath made known unto the Son, I have through the sacrifice of the sonship as to the body, being made after the image of sin, I have given all these things to you, because it's not you living, but me. And I that knew no sin, I've been made sin, that God might smite me, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, that he might spare you. So he says concerning this, I have done it all. I have given the blood atonement. I have lived the righteous life. I'm the one that's done the works. All you've got to do is believe in me. So then out of the stages of the cocoon, we come. Then we bear the image of the heavenly. Now I am in the image of the heavenly. Not as to what you see. Because what you see is lying vanities. And what you see is that before your eyes, as to the eye nerves. But what God sees as to the new birth, as to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, having passed from death unto life, then I've come into this wonderful, wonderful heavenly realm of spirit world, because I am now a quickening spirit. For the Bible said, he that is born of spirit is spirit. I am born to the spirit. So I am now quickening spirit. And I've left the stages of the living soul. I was a living soul. I was born as a living soul. I lived in this life that you know as a living soul. And then there came a time when I died. By the body of the Lord Jesus, I died. And when I died, then I came forth in the resurrection, and God saw me in the end of the world in the resurrection. And he saw me as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Having given this to me in Christ before the world ever was, I passed from death unto life, and I shall never come into condemnation. Never again. I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And one day the head of that bodily members, he will come and my members will be drawn to him. And the magnetic forces of this earth that holds the body of the living soul as from the dust to the dust that holds that body will not be able to hold me, because I am not of that which is corruptible. That which sins is corruptible. But in that Jesus did no sin, the earth, death, the powers of evil could not hold him, because he was incorruptible. There was no corruption in him. He was delivered from my offenses, so my sins are paid for. Now he was raised again out of the grave for my justification, so in the sight of God, God never sees anything wrong with me again. I am therefore justified by faith end what he did for me. And his faith, as to his faith, that was delivered unto the saints of God has entered into me. And I have been cleansed, I have been sanctified, I have been purified, I have been made perfect forever by that one offering that God offered of his own human body as to take away my sins. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Jesus became that death body, or the body of that death. And God smote that bodily death and done away with that bodily death and took me as the spiritual inner man out of that body of death and put me in the body of his Son, which is righteousness that is raised in his sight for justification, to where he never sees anything wrong with me again. So I passed then from the death body of the living soul over to the life body of the quickening spirit. And the living soul can die. He that sinneth, he shall surely die. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. And you have the sentence of death in you, because Adam and Eve sinned against God. And the Bible says, concerning them, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So that sentence, surely die, came from God. And he sentenced them unto death. So Paul said, we therefore have the sentence of death within this body because of the transgression of our forefather. But then Jesus came along and he said, he that heareth my words and believeth on me, he hath passed from death unto life. That is, I'll take him out of that body, because I'll take his place and I'll take his punishment. And now he is in another body by the washing of regeneration. As to the baptism in the natural, he washed my body clean and brought me forth as a garment that had went through the laundry. And so then, as to the Spirit, the washing of the water of the Word, as to the Spirit of God, he washed my inner man. And he took it from the filthy garments that had been stained with sin through the fall of Adam and Eve. And he took away that bodily sin and death and laid it away. And today I'm raised again by him to justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God my Father, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No wrath from him to me anymore. So I know the day of his coming. You say, what day will it be? Well, we'll say it like this. It'll be the day that the Lord has made. For the Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he saw the coming of the Lord, even that with clouds. And there as he saw the wonderful coming of the Lord, and he wanted to explain it, he could only say one thing: the revelation of Jesus Christ. Read it for yourself. And someone would say, well, in what hour, Brother Pike? He said, the hour that ye think not. That's the hour he's coming. Let's give him a hand. So then God tells us which way to go, how to go. Not only that, but he tells us as to we knowing that it's nigh even at the door. Not only the day and the hour as in the Spirit, never in the world, no man's going to know. Not even the Son. But when you become one with the Father, then he makes all things known unto you. And at the hour when it's necessary, at the day when it's necessary, he will let you know. When he's at the door, we can open the door. Or that is to say, is there days with God? Is there hours with God? Is there times with God? No man's going to know the day nor the hour, because you're subjected as the creature to days and hours. But we're not subjected as to the creature to days and hours. We're not in the flesh. That is, you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of that world of time and circumstances and problems, and I've hid you with Christ in heaven. So then, as to that time, as to that day, what need is there for me to know when the Lord is coming back? Because all that he's going to do is pick up that dead body that was buried in the river somewhere. And I, as the man that lives and eats and drinks and enjoys life, as to that that ye know not of, Jesus said, meat that ye know not of, as to him that overcometh, I will give to him of the hidden manna to eat. See, and with that, Why should I worry? Because I'm already in heaven. I'm already in the presence of God. I'm already sitting in the heavenly places. I've already passed from death unto life. I've already been perfected forever. I'm already bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. All of that's already taken care of for me. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And ye that believe God by faith, ye become translated that ye should not see death, that ye should pass from death unto life. Therefore, even Lazarus, as to that that loved Jesus, Jesus said, he's just asleep. So we see what a great, mighty thing a human body is, if it is not that of the lying vanities, of that of the sin, that of the living soul that can sin. But if it is that that is passed from the stages of the living soul and now is a quickening spirit that cannot die. Someone would say, flesh and bones. Someone said, a spirit. He said, fill of me as to the resurrection, sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. And he said, fill of me for the spirit. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So there's going to be a resurrection, going to be change. But folks, these things are lying vanities. As a matter of fact, speaking of the lying vanities, you remember how Jesus walked through the wall? See, and speaking of lying vanities, I was talking to somebody today, and they was just telling me that they read a little article where scientists has at last come to the place to where they have determined that the body is only a composition of magnetism. They didn't explain it that way, but from what I could sum up out of what they were saying, that's the way it is. And scientists have finally decided that the thing only exists, as they call it, to the human senses. Which that's what we've been preaching to you for a long time. And that the world, now they've decided that the world doesn't exist except through the human senses. Whereas the world only exists through a mind. This world is a mind. It's a satanic mind. It is a world of lying vanities. It is a heaven. It is the second heaven. And it must pass away because it is a state of mind. That's all it is. And scientists is coming closer and closer to the discovery of this. And you would say, well, why, Brother Pike, at this time, would all of a sudden they discover this when never before have they discovered anything like this? Because I preached to you that time was no more and that the world was at an end and the world was only a mind and the world was in your heart as a man thinketh in his heart. And they have to come to discover that. See, because the world only exists within your mind as a spirit, as a life within your heart. And you are caught within the environment of your thinking. And you are a creature of circumstances. You are in the prison of your thoughts. Satan has imprisoned that life. And by that he has created a world of vanity, which is a heaven. Because he cannot get back into the spirit, therefore he savors the things that be of the flesh. Because God in his allowance has allowed him to be the prince of this world. That's how Jesus could walk through the wall. There was no wall. In that mind that he was in that world that he was in, he was not in an intellectual confinement. That's why they could not hold Peter. When they put Peter and Paul in jail, when the angels came, the doors flew open. Because there was no such thing as locked doors in that world. And Peter and them moving into that world by faith, they just kept on praising God. And they got in the Spirit like John did. And when John got in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, there was no barriers. And when you get in the Spirit here, you that are born of God, then there is no barriers. Like Paul, you just go up, up, up. Paul said, whether in my body or out of my body, I can't tell. He said, but I do know that such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And he also acknowledged later to be absent from the body is to be present with God. And it is a true fact that as Elijah walked with God, as Enoch walked with God, and these others walked with God, they walked right out of this lying vanity. Because they transformated in their minds. They kept Even the heavens declaring his handiwork. They kept hearing and they kept thinking and they kept being educated, as the world would use the terms, unto a diplomacy in God. And finally they reached a place until they transformated in their mind and the lying vanities was no more. They just faded away like the sun striking the snow on the hillside. And then the other world was suddenly revealed because it was another mind. And as you move on from glory to glory, as this mind of Christ on the inside of you by new birth, as to whatever measure your life and world is, as to whatever height you will gain, that mind on the inside is releasing to you by the knowledge of God. It is releasing to you, let there be, and let there be, and let there be. As to this thing, I look at and I say, that's a tree. And suddenly something on the inside said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, a tree. And then I see the tree just dissipate and change and the transformation, and it's gone as a lying vanity. And I see that what God intended when he put that tree as a type. But still the shadows, still the veil, still this thing as the veil of death, which is the intellectual thing from the tree of knowledge that dropped over the true mind of Adam and Eve. That veil is still there, Paul said, untaken away until this day. As to the educational system and the thoughts of your own being, it's still there today over the minds of the people as to the true mind, which veil is taken away with in Christ, or done away with in Christ. So then I am beholding not as through a glass darkly, but as face to face. Because the veil has been done away with. For the Bible said, with the brightness of the coming of that light, which is understanding, it will eradicate, it will do away with, it will cause to dissipate that middle wall of partition that's between me and God. Whereas the Bible said, in thine iniquities, as to the middle wall, is separated between thee and thy God. And God's hand is not short, that it cannot reach thee or save thee, but thine iniquities, which is that veil of death, that causes the wrath of God to come upon you. That thing, when God smote it there with Jesus, he smote it. When Jesus becomes sin at Calvary, the blessings of God left him that had been with him all his life. All of a sudden, he became the red dragon there as to blood life. And yet it was God's blood, but showing the type, which was the blood life. And when God did that, God just kind of pulled down the shade, as we say. And the Bible says that it became blackest sackcloth of hair between Jesus and God. That is to say, between the sun. The sun turned black as sackcloth of hair. Back in the Old Testament, when they prayed, they had put sackcloth on because it indicated the veil of iniquity, the rejection of God. Humility, to humiliate, to show your weakness toward God. As the woman with the veil, to show her humility toward the man. As today, it's shamefacedness. The woman has the veil of shamefacedness. The man has that as to a sober spirit, as being grave, as not to let his spirit go out to a woman. And her beauty is in her face, so then it is shamefacedness, that she does not meet him with her gaze. She does not do that. She is shamefaced. So I said all that to say this, that veil of death, that veil of darkness, when the sun veiled itself as black as sackcloth of hair, and then came the wrath of God. Jesus said, at that moment, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Because when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was the beast image that made as unto sin. It was rejected of God, and down it went. And the Holy Christ on the inside of this body that was smitten as a body of sin, and yet it was a lamb without blemish. This body had trapped Satan and caught Satan, and down into the fire he went with Satan. Down he went into the heart of the earth with Satan and bound him and went away, as we say. And the only freedom that he hath today is through the grace. You don't see the binding of Satan, because as the raven was let out, and the raven went to feed on the dead bodies of those rejected by God, that is to say, in the days of Noah, so was Calvary. For he said, this is as the waters of Noah to me, and out went the dove and out went the raven. And at Calvary, out went the spirit of Christ, which was the dove-like spirit. And the body being made sin, and Paul said, no good thing in the body, out went the raven, out of the body. Because the raven, Satan, was cast out in that Jesus was made my sin and your sin, and that raven had gotten into your body from the weakness of Adam and Eve. So out went the raven, and Satan was cast out. But through grace, he still lives in human bodies today. Not in the body he was cast out of as the Son of God body, as the membership of God, which was in the foreknowledge of God and made manifest at Calvary to bring to light all down through the church ages the great, lovely church and bride of Jesus Christ. As to an ultimatum at the end of the age to the change of his glorious image. See, not that one, but those that are rejected, the raven is still there. So every time that people come to present themselves in the presence of God, it's not the minister speaking, but it's God speaking from within them, and the whole world is being judged according to this word and according to faith. See, because that one that is a bastard child that has the raven as to the infiltration within the flesh, that has never been delivered from death, then that particular one sits there and he hears the words of judgment. Because he comes to a knowledge, but when he gets out, he can't perform it. He doesn't have the nature to perform the law, therefore the righteousness of the law is not fulfilled in him. But Christ within you, the hope of glory, automatically gives us that virtue into our body. That is a time set. We're working from glory to glory. From as to a momentum, gaining momentum, coming to an ultimatum as to the change, the Thessalonian change, where this body will be changed into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. And of course, we can't go into that tonight because we have to go into the tutoring as to the law, as to the adoption, as to the time appointed of the Father. But let me say a few more things before we close. That is, remember that the world is within you. And with Christ coming in, the kingdom of heaven came to you. For the law and the prophets were until John. That is, the world was until John. But then that world passed away. Peter said, in the old world passed away by water. That old world passing away by water, which was from the days of Noah, or the days of the garden down to Noah, and then the next world from Noah over to Calvary. This over to Calvary is the physical revealing, the projecting, the manifestation of that which was the old world. And this is as the waters of Noah to me. And so then the old world passed away with the waters as to the overflow. And now with Calvary, the physical dimension is showing what happened to the natural dimension. And now the physical dimension is going through the change as to the water, but this time it is the washing of the water of the Word. And the waters are released from heaven as the wrath of God coming down upon that bodily image of sin. And away goes that body. And out goes the raven and the dove. And the true body that survives, which is that in the image of God, pitched on the inside and out in the likeness of God, it rises above the wrath of God and it goes right on up to the third heaven. Comes right on up to the spiritual dimension. And immediately at Calvary, Pentecost comes, the Spirit falls and moves, and we go right on into the third dimension, which comes to its ultimatum at the end of the 2,000 years, which is close at hand now. We got a letter today from Brother Jack Arntz. Remember, I'm the one that gave him a guitar, and he's the one that received the dove as to the guitar. And Jack wrote me a letter. He was over at our meeting over in Memphis, and he was real stirred about it, and he said, pray that God will grant unto me the spirit of revelation. Because he had seen some things which spoke of at this time the Lord returning to the Mount of Olives, setting his foot upon it, and we had likened it unto the dove that went out, found a leaf from the tree of life, as we would say, or that which was surviving from the flood and brought it back to Noah. And Jack had seen a picture in the paper where they had a big picture here, the police, the law, whatever, what it had to do with, and they had a dove on this big flag that was in this picture. And I believe he had a little leaf or whatever in his mouth. But anyway, it has to do with the dove, and he said that they're going to fly this in Olive Branch. They're going to start flying this flag. Not Brother Jack, but the people of Olive Branch as to the law and as to the government. And he said it was one of 12 that was going to be flown as to the neighboring counties or whatever. And he was so thrilled over it till he addressed that thing and said to a son of God and told how thrilled he was over the message. And I said all that to say this, that little dove returned. He left the body at the crucifixion, which was the ark being a type of the body. and the body being a type of that interspiritual Christ, which is coming in the third dimension. And there's people for the first dimension, people for the second dimension. There are people for the third dimension. We don't have time to go into that. But anyway, here is the second dimension. And here is the body. And all of a sudden, the dove, which is the Spirit of Christ, leaves and goes into heaven. There into the garden, gets that leaf as to the healing of the nations, brings it back down from heaven, and we say leaf, we're speaking of the tongue, bringing back the word of the tongue, the word that is in the tongue, and brought back that word that is in the tongue as to light, as to the fire that was a pillar of fire over the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And here is the physical tabernacle as the vision that I saw. And here comes the pillar of fire as to the tongues of fire, which is that leaf that the precious Holy Spirit, that was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the same dove, the Holy Spirit that was over Jesus at the baptism. And here comes that beautiful holy dove back there to anoint their tongue with fire. That when they spoke, it would not be them, but God being a consuming fire, that word would be in their tongue. And here he caught this and came back, and as that dove entered back into the ark, or that fire over the tabernacle, here the dove came right back, as going out of the body, came right back into the membership of it, and came right on the inside at the day of Pentecost to stay in that ark until the tribulation period is over, until the days of the church ages is over, to where that once he comes in, he can stay there until seven times passes over Jacob. And then he'll come back in the millennium. All of a sudden, he'll take us up over into the millennium, where we'll set Jesus down on the throne, make him our king. And in that millennium, we'll be in the new earth. That is to say that this ark must go through the tribulation of the nightmares and the sorrow and the heartaches of being called holy rollers and beat about and Jim Joneses and everything else, and go right on down through the tribulation period and right on down as it came through the church ages, there with the people going through the dark ages being killed and whatever, and finally as the ark, which is represented by the body of the Jew, it comes back. And when it comes back in the resurrection at the Thessalonian change, all of a sudden you that buried your body in a watery grave, and the Jew took your part as to this transitional change, as to the dark ages, all of a sudden you, the spiritual one that went away to heaven at your death, that died in your body to the things of the world, will come back at the time that that Jew comes in, because he represents your dead body going out at Calvary and coming back in at the coming of the headship. And at that time, you as a spiritual dove coming back to enter into that ark, entering back into that ark, and when you enter into that ark, whereas the raven are those people that continued on through the church ages, on down through there, that done the evil, dirty things in the darkness of the intellectual reasoning of their night, that they did as unto corruption. And they come right on through there, but see, they fed off of corruption. That is, the raven did, Satan's spirit, within those people that are corruptible. Satan fed off of them all during this time. They yielded their bodies and their desires, and Satan eat them up all during that time, because the raven kept feeding on those dead bodies. Dead to the extent Calvary done away with all unbelievers. For the Bible said they're dead and twice dead and plucked up by the root. And John likens people under waters, and they're just floating around out there ever since Calvary. Just floating about. And the old raven, the old crow, that thing is eating them. He's all around. He's eating them like a buzzard. But see, that dove, that spirit of yours, one with Christ, will return afterwards, after the church ages, after the tribulation, and come back into the ark, as into the ark of the body of the Jews. That is to say, your body will come out of the grave at that time, the dead bodies of those that sleep under the coming of the resurrection. And you as the Spirit coming back with Christ as that dove with that tree of life will come down with that leaf of life into that body, and it will awake that one and bring them out to live and eat from the tree of life. Whereas the Bible said, put them out of the garden, lest they put forth their hand, partake of the tree of life, and live forever. And put the flaming swords there as to the cherubims. So then that means that the same way he came back into our body, and we are the mystic body of the Lord Jesus, as the bone of the bone and flesh of his flesh, so will he come back into the natural body as Jesus, the natural head over there, and we as the spiritual ones back into the bodies. That is to say, whoever has died over there shall return. So this has happened spiritually, this has happened naturally, and we find ourselves living in the day of the Lord. So, and as to the day and the hour, why worry about it? We're already in the day that the Lord made. This is the day. And we've already come into that great hour of his return, because this is the hour of deliverance. And we already belong to him. And as to the natural, which it would take many hours to explain, as to the natural man, I put off the cocoon. And now I'm enjoying that wonderful heavenly flight. I'm enjoying this wonderful presence of God, living in the lovely land of Canaan. I am dwelling in Canaan. So then, I'm having a good time in the day that the Lord has made. I preached the other night concerning God, and Paul said, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. If you've not entered into that rest, let me invite you tonight to enter into that rest. Because there is a rest just for God's people. Seeing that they did not enter into it, being cut off from Canaan as to the type, let us fear lest we come short of entering into that rest. And folks, the only way to get into that rest is to cease from your own works. And the only way to cease from your own works is to die. And when you die, that's the end of it. So to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed but the body of the Lord Jesus, let that spirit go back to God who gave it. Let it enter into rest. That is to say, get over your carnal intellectual mind. For to be carnally minded is to be part of the raven. Or to be carnally minded, that is the raven. See, you are caught in the environment of carnal things, which is vanity that'll pass away. But as of now, you're partakers because your mind feeds off of it. You think that your hands feed off of it, but it's your mind that's feeding off of it. And when the world is eradicated with the brightness of that revelational coming of the Christ within, as it will come in the natural and do away with the natural vanity, so as it appeared from within to eradicate the world and set up the kingdom of God within you. So then, ye that have been born again, you have passed from death unto life, you now have the kingdom of God within you. So then, you're not walking in the vanity of your mind, Paul said, as those that are in the world. But you're walking in the mind of Christ. That means you're in heavenly places. And I'm seeing with my eyes of understanding that has been enlightened to the comprehending of the heights of the depth, the width and the length of the great mighty things of God. And you that are still in the vanity of your minds, you are seeing the derogative things of life. And you're looking at the vanities of life, and you're caught within those things that will pass away. For all is vanity, and all will pass away. All right, let's stand together. Just one or two little things I'd like to say, but Satan doesn't want them said. He keeps aggravating the little one back there. He'll do anything in the natural when he realizes that you are passing from this world into the next world. He gets all tore up because with the passing, with the transformating of your mind, that is the end of this era. And at last, scientists is beginning to see. They're beginning to understand. They don't understand as of yet, but they're beginning to catch a glimpse, and they're beginning to understand why. Because this is the end of the world. And they've got to come to the place to where the ends of the world get them just like that. And this is the end of the world. So you're coming to the end of the world now, because the world is a mind. It's within you. And you that love the Lord, you came to the end of that world when you was born again. And your inner man is the son. The child was caught up to the throne, even to the kingdom within you. All has been well with you ever since. But the body is coming into its perspective now. Right perspective. That means that the natural people are beginning to see you as you go away. They're beginning to see. Because they're going to come to where they realize that this is vanity. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And that the world is passing away. So the world is passing away out of your heart. But they are still caught within the environment of the world as to the desire of their human senses. And they are in the confines of their gullible feelings and desire as to their thoughts. And they cannot get out. As a man that's having hallucinations because he has drank so much, having taken dope, delirious, he will walk along and he's stepping over snakes and he's running from bears and he's trying to get away from all kind of things, pink elephants and whatever. I've heard of them where they go to stay up. I've said this a number of times. And they go to stay up and they'd say the place was so high as they went to step off of a curb that they're afraid he's going to break their neck. See, this is the condition of the mind, like one that is insane. So, it's passing away. It's gone from you and I. It's gone. The world is gone. The kingdom of heaven is within us. And now we're living in another dimension and we're living in another world. And that's why they think that we're demented. And that's why they think that we're beside ourselves. And they look at us out there in the world as one that has lost the mind. They said, Paul, you've lost your mind. You're beside yourself. He said, only for Christ's sake. He had gotten a revelation. Well, there's a lot of things that we'd like to say in talking to you about these. Jesus would also say to you if he was here to talk with you. But let's remember, faith, by the hearing of this voice, faith, by the spiritual transmitted words from heaven through human instrumentality, faith that changes that word into spirit and life, transformating power. To as many as believe, to them gave he power as they heard that word to become eternal, which is the Son of God. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led, no longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. Remember, this mind is the Jordan. To be carnally minded, God never would have made a Jordan River except for this one thing, to show you the carnal mind, to reveal it to you, the boundary line between the wilderness, the mind of Satan, and Israel, the land of milk and honey, between the body of the rejected, the old cocoon, and the body that is spirit. From a living soul to a quickening spirit. The other side you shall be. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. Far on the other side of Jordan. No longer in the wilderness to wander. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the world with the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. When you look, those nerves begin to transmit that vanity of a human form, of a human face, of glitter and glamour, of the tangible things of life. And it causes you to have a feeling to get to it like bees to honey. And that is lust. For the original rendering goes back to desire. It causes you to admire, to be enticed, to desire. Then you're drawn away from your steadfastness and faith as to being dead to the things of the world but the body of the Lord Jesus. See, you find you're much alive and you're enticed, drawn away. There is a conception of sin and then the sting of death, and then you die. Are you then dead to the world and the things of the world, as to the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the desires of the things of life? Have you mortified the flesh, the body with the deeds thereof? Are you then dead? Are you? Take up your cross and follow me, right down to the nails go into your hands, and the nails into your feet, and the thorns into your head. And you think no more. There's not one thought left. Every thought into subjection to Christ. And there's no more infatuations of your human senses. You're dead. The world is at last gone, because there has to be human instrumentality as to nerves, as the human senses of the five senses, to record, lest if there be not those things, there is no world. As I've said to you before, do away with your sight, you've done away with part of your world. I've said to you, do away with your hearing, and you've done away with part of your world. And do away with your smelling, and you've done away with part of your world. And do away with your taste, and you've done away with a part of your world. And do away with your feel, as to taste, hearing, smell, feel. And you'll find out you're dead. There's no more world. Then we say, I'm dead. We say, there's no more world. There's no more world. The world is what left. That's what's left. Someone will say, well, I'm dead. The world is what's left. You'll find out you're very much alive when you're dropped into the lake of fire. Not as to a life, but as to an existence. So then, there is nothing except vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And a man gives his soul for sight, for taste, for hearing, for feel, for smell. All those kind of things. Can you cross over the Jordan of the human mind to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to let the mind of Christ be within you? Let's sing this again. Shuway said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in this wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. For when you reap the other side, you shall, sing it with me, cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua saith, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in this wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. For when you reap the other side, you shall over the carnal mind get over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall. The altars are open as we sing. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of the heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy. Can you sing with me? For at the cross, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. Sing it one more time with me. Oh, now I'm happy all the day. If my father don't go, don't hinder me. If my mother don't go, don't hinder me. If my brother don't go, don't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise the Lord, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. If the preacher don't go, don't hinder me. If the preacher don't go, don't hinder me. If the preacher don't go, don't hinder me. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. Can you sing with me? I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. Sing it with me. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. One more time. If the people don't go, don't hinder me. If church people don't go, don't hinder me. If the people don't go, don't hinder me. For I'm on my way, praise the Lord, on my way. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. One more time. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was the band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends I'm coming home. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me. Sing it again. Swing low, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Don't that make you feel good? Way down south. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming. Do you believe that? Can't you feel it? Hallelujah. Swing low, sweet chariot, you're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. You love the Lord? One of you can sing just one or two more for this minute. It's good to be a Christian, ain't it? Good to be a Christian. Amazing grace, how sweet your sound, that has saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. Oh, how just did that grace appear? It was the hour that I first believed. And when the battle's over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown, for in this battle I'm gonna wear a crown in the ring. I'll wear a crown, I'll wear a crown, I'll wear a crown, shine. Can you sing it with me? Wear a crown, I'll wear a crown. I'll wear that bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. We'll wear that bright and and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear that crown in the new Jerusalem. Let's give him a hand. Let's lift our hands up in love him. Can you do that? Just lift your hands up and tell Jesus how much you love him tonight. Don't forget, time is passing away. Vanity of vanities and all is vanity, said the preacher, and vexation of my spirit. But vanity is passing away now. All is passing away. And you that eternal, you that are eternal, you're beginning to emerge out of the shadows now. Like the little thing that says, I have a little shadow that goes in and out with me. What can be the use of him is more than I can see. I've said that little poem to you I read when I was a little boy. Ever since Calvary, ever since man fell, there's been a little shadow following him. But he's coming out of the shadows now. He's coming out of the shadows, moving out of the shadows now into the light of the glorious sunshine of God's heavenly word. Like the song we wrote, move out of the valley, move up to the mountain where the heavenly sunshine flows. Moving out of the valley, the song says, the valley of ice and snow. Moving up to the mountaintop where the heavenly sunshine flows. While we're standing here tonight, let's think about Jesus and let's remember that he is the one that made it possible for us to be able to move out of the shadows and to leave the old cocoon behind. The old cocoon is a diminishing thing. Every day it is diminishing. For as the individual that is born as a living soul, he must decrease that the inner man is to Christ so that he can increase. Are you diminishing in your plans and your projections and your desires? Are you mortifying the deeds of the body? Are you passing away that he might come on the scene? Are you? Are you decreasing that the inner man might increase? For the more the outer man increases, the less the inner man can increase. So let's make the outer man to decrease and the inner man to increase. While you're standing with your hands up and your eyes closed, when you have time, I say again, pray for me and my family. Don't forget our campaigns and crusades abroad throughout the world. Ask God to help us. Ask the Lord to help us. They're praising you from all the different corners of the world because here at Bethlehem you cared, and here at Bethlehem you've reached out, and Paul said, as to the early church, your faith has been spoke of throughout the entire world. So, let's continue to pray. The little girl that we prayed for that the doctor said should have bled to death because of this unusual thing as to the... it, by prayer, they said they couldn't understand it, but all of a sudden this blood staunched and she's all right. So, while we have our hands lifted up tonight, loving Jesus, let's remember that. I'm going to ask Brother Roger back there to come up here and pray with me. Will you come, Roger? While Roger's coming to pray tonight, think on us. Folks, don't forget Little Bethlehem and the people of Little Bethlehem. And don't forget the pastor. My loved ones, I try not to forget you. We're the home of our abroad. I try to remember you. And don't forget, if you strengthen me in my crusades around the world, as we go forth in these Christian crusades for Christ, and you strengthen me in these, and you bid at Godspeed when I stand on the day of judgment, if I've won one soul, you'll be partakers of it. We'll all rejoice together. And while I pray for you, you pray for me. If I can help you, I will. I don't mean to ever offend you. I'm just set for the defense of the gospel. And I love you. And I want to help you. You pray for me as Brother Roger comes to pray with you tonight.